third straight Monday, and for the fourth time in 5 weeks, we're coming off of a win. Welcome into 49ers Live. I'm Joe Fan. My best bud's back in the house, Ted Robinson. Welcome back, good sir. It's a treat to have you back because while Kiana killed it in this chair, I struggled mightily in the analyst chair, so let me tell you, it's much safer on this side of the desk.
Yeah, stop it. First of all, I thought I was getting Wally pipped. Google it, okay, young guys. No, I thought Kiana was going to be the Ripken here. She was going to take over and have an iron person streak. But I want to know one thing, Joe Fan.
Tell me what?
Because I got to believe you're just walking right behind Jimmy Garoppolo right now, right? Everywhere Jimmy goes, you're following right behind, aren't you? Because this is the way to go in life.
Yeah, I mean, you can do no wrong. You know, this guy's on pace to never lose a football game. I want to follow that guy.
Amen. There'd be a lot of fringe benefits, I'm thinking,
Joe,
and I know
no
you
doubt.
Would welcome that.
No doubt. 25-23 is the final against the Titans. Ted, how much fun was that?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Joe. There's certain moments, and look, we're going to show a bunch of highlights, and we'll talk about some football plays and things like that, and they're all worthy of moments. But there are singular moments to me that stand out. And I go back to the last game that Frank Gore played here when he ran around the field. He did a victory lap around the field at the end of the game and high-fived the fans because he had a pretty good feeling that was going to be his last game in a 49er uniform. And that resonated so much with me. There's a scene yesterday at the end of the game. And I couldn't see calling the game live. I don't think you could see it from where you were, but television caught it perfectly. And it was a great shot. It was from behind Robbie Gould, and we may be able to show that here. As Robbie Gould kicks the field goal that wins the game, and as that kick goes through the uprights, the view that we had was phenomenal. It was the best moment of the day. We saw the Levi Stadium crowd. That's what was awesome. People in their seat. Look at that. That's what I'm going for. Look at that. When was the last time we saw that at Levi Stadium? At the end of a game on a cool December afternoon. Look at that. There are no empty seats. And people are raising their hands. If there's anything to me that resonated from yesterday, it was when I got home last night and watched the game back on the television copy and saw that shot.
Ted's skipping to the end, but the whole rest of the game was fantastic as well. Let's run the tape. On the highlights, week 15 at Levi's Stadium, the 49ers going for their third straight against the 8-5 Titans. That's important to know. This team desperate for their playoff lives. This is one of the first third downs of the game. Jimmy Garoppolo evades pressure, throws across his body, finds Trent Taylor for 12. Then on third and 18, it's Selleck time. That gained 17, almost a first down. Kyle Shanahan elects to kick the field goal. Here's Robbie Gould. He would be busy today. Bradley Pinion, his job would be holding. He punted just once. Robbie Gould, a real busy day in this one. Now, it's 6-3 off of play action. Nice diving catch right there. Sliding catch from Marquise Goodwin. A couple plays later, throwing it up. Marquise Goodwin, my goodness. From an interception to a simultaneous catch, tie goes to the receiver. Wesley Woodyard doesn't like it, but the 49ers do. It's a first down for San Francisco. Then it's Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne coming out party. Makes a man miss. He gains 14. Next third down, it's 3rd and 6. Garoppolo dropping back, finds Kyle Juszczyk out of the backfield. Good enough for a first down. Then a couple of plays later, 3rd and goal. Garrett Selleck's by himself. Garoppolo doesn't see him yet, but he will. Points to his man and finds Garrett Selleck for Selleck time. It's a thing, people. Set your watches. It would come again as well. Here is Delanie Walker. And this is Brock Coyle ripping the ball loose. Adrian Colbert recovers. This is the lone turnover of the day for either team. And it was a big one. Midway through the second quarter, Garoppolo would take advantage right away. It's Trent Taylor for 17 yards up the left sideline. Then it's his go-to guy. Garoppolo to Goodwin. Wash, rinse, repeat. Breaking a tackle and getting enough yards for a first down. That was 3rd and 11. 49ers wouldn't get in the end zone. Robbie Gould, this is his 3rd field goal of the day. Just before the half, this looked to be what might have been a season-saving drive for the Titans, desperate for points. That's 27 yards for Rishard Matthews. And then it was Delanie Walker who finds the end zone. Mariota rolling to his right. Impressive throw over Adrian Colbert in tight coverage, the back of the end zone. That would make this a game and start a 17-0 run for the Titans. This was the end of that run, a touchdown pass to Rishard Matthews. 49ers now find themselves trailing in this one, but Garoppolo and the 49ers would respond. It's Garrett Celek, a huge 41-yard reception and a beautiful throw from Garoppolo. Then on 3rd and 3, Garoppolo to Marquise Goodwin on a quick in cut. And Robbie Gould, here's number 4. Good. More from him on the way here as a wild fourth quarter at Levi's Stadium. Now it's 20-19, a clutch stop by the defense, and Garoppolo gets going right away. First play on the drive, it's 54 yards to Kendrick Bourne. A career long for him in his best game as a pro. A little shimmy afterwards. That guy loves a good celebration after the catch. Nothing wrong with that. Then it's George Kittle, a 19-yard pickup. Penalties continue to hurt the 49ers in the red zone, but Robbie Gould, it just doesn't matter. True from 50. Field goal number 5 as the 49ers take the lead. Here, 3rd and 2, maybe the play of the game. Titans still in field goal range, but DeForest Buckner stuffs DeMarco Murray, which saves so much time on the clock. Ryan Succop, very clutch in his own right. 50 yards on the road. Last 2 minutes, he's good. We're going to take a shot downfield from Marquise Goodwin. You got to take my word for it. We'll come back to that last drive. Taking a shot from Marquise Goodwin to give that much faith in the quarterback. You know you're already in Robbie's field goal range, but no big deal. Carlos Hyde picks up a couple. Then it's Robbie Gould. As time expires, walk-off winner. Good. As Gould, 6 field goals on the day. Robbie Gould's got 15 over his last 3 games. The 49ers are winners in dramatic fashion. Let's skip straight. Never before seen locker room celebration footage. This is the scene at Levi's Stadium postgame.
Something special. Ooh, all right, but we had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun out there watching you guys today. There's no better feeling. All right, that's our first playoff one right there. We got 2 more left, man. Yeah. All right, enjoy the night. Protect the team. I really don't know how to do the game ball, so everyone in here gets a game ball.
Great game, fellas. Now it's on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 31 of 43, 381 yards. That's a career high for him. 1 touchdown, Robbie Gould to 6 field goals, and you've seen that post-game hoopla in the locker room. Jimmy Garoppolo going up to different guys on the team. Kendrick Bourne giving him big love, making some big catches in this game. Kendrick Bourne, 4 catches for 85 yards. Going up to Eric Reid calling a team win. Look at the command this guy has of the locker room already. You can tell they are following their quarterback, and it's easy to forget. This guy just got here on Halloween, Ted.
Joe. I'm impressed, man. That was one of the best runs I've ever seen. That was Iron Man, Joe. We'll bring out some oxygen for you. Look, hey.
Take it away.
Hey, look, the best thing, and we actually asked Daniel Kilgore this on the radio post-game show, was with 1:07 to go in the game, you're down. And the offense runs on the field, and they believe that they're going to move that ball, and they do move the ball. And that was, I mean, that's the feeling that, when was the last time you felt that about a 49er team? That when the game was on the line and you needed to have one push to score to win, the offense could deliver. Ultimately, here's to me the point yesterday. The 49ers had 8 possessions. They scored on 7 of them. So, yes, you'd rather have some of those field goals be touchdowns. We all know that. But the point is, 8 possessions, 7 scores. The only possession that ended up with a Bradley Pinion punt was a rarity. Trent Taylor dropped a 3rd-down pass. He's been so reliable this year. That was the only time the 49ers didn't score. That's the measure. So all of those raw numbers that we see come down to that. Every time you possess the ball, you can move it. You can get first downs, and you give yourself a chance to score.
What I love about it is that that expectation is there. They've already done it. In Chicago, you saw the same thing. Granted, they had much longer period of time, just over 5 minutes, but still you bleed the entire clock to where you're kicking that field goal basically as time is expiring. For me, the impression I get from the locker room is as well, Garoppolo hype is going to spread throughout the country in terms of what's being covered on ESPN, NFL Network, and so on and so forth. But the locker room, they're kind of over that awe period with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like, yeah, this is who he is. This is our guy. We knew that we got the ball back and we were going to go score. And which is pretty remarkable to think that nothing that Jimmy Garoppolo is doing at this point is blowing any of his teammates away. That's right. The expectation now. That's the belief they have in this guy.
And I want to give a lot of love here to number 11. Marquise Goodwin he's been good all year, but he has been a measure better, like most guys have, since Garoppolo has started being the quarterback. And yesterday, Marquise has 10 catches, a career high for a game, including this one. And this is one of two plays, I want to say, that Marquise Goodwin saved Jimmy Garoppolo. And this is the thing with all the Garoppolo hoopla. Understand, he should have thrown a pick on the contested ball that Marquise stole from the defender, Walden. And then remember, Garoppolo threw a ball to the end zone that was intercepted by Adoree Jackson, and Goodwin used his right arm to rip it away. So Goodwin saved two picks for Garoppolo yesterday. So 10 catches and two really great defensive plays as well. And my point is, Garoppolo's making everybody better, but those guys are helping him too. And Marquise Goodwin, and we've learned again after the game yesterday of another personal hit that Marquise takes with the passing of his biological father. I mean, this has been a rough year for him in that front, and yet he's having by far and away the best professional year. In 4 years total in Buffalo, Marquise Goodwin had 49 catches. He has 51 this year here.
His first game with double-digit receptions.
Yeah.
His first time getting back-to-back 100-yard games. He's just 103 yards away from 1,000, his first career 1,000-yard season, which seems like a near lock with the amount of targets and yards he's getting with Jimmy Garoppolo. A nice bit of chemistry for them. Marquise Goodwin showing that he's not that one-trick pony that he was in Buffalo. He's what the 49ers envisioned. And Kyle Shanahan said last week he sees so much more ahead for Marquise Goodwin. Regardless of what happens in the offseason, you got to imagine the 49ers are going to look for that alpha male in the red zone, something you can see even in these games. Robbie Gould kicking 15 field goals over the last three weeks. That's amazing for Robbie. We'll get to him in those numbers. You obviously want him kicking extra points. And when you don't have that go-to guy in the red zone, which the 49ers are lacking, that's probably going to be a target during the offseason. That doesn't mean that Marquise Goodwin's going anywhere. Even when Pierre Garçon comes back, he's going to be a piece and a fixture in this offense for years to come, you've got to imagine. And he's been absolutely gigantic for Jimmy Garoppolo in those last three starts.
So let's talk about someone else here, Joe.
Yep.
And we say so Marquise Goodwin, we saw how he helped yesterday. Here's another guy. We're talking offense, offense, offense. The game is likely won by the 49ers because of a play made by DeForest Buckner. DeForest Buckner makes a stop on a third down play. And thankfully, the 49ers got a break. Delanie Walker in the previous play went out of bounds. But this play right here, DeForest Buckner, if he does not make it, it's not Brock Coyle. This is Buckner, and he's in the middle. It's hard to see, but he pushes past 67, Spain, that was trying to block him. And it's Defoe that makes the play. He stops DeMarco Murray. If DeMarco Murray gets a first down on this play, it's the Chicago game in reverse for the 49ers. Tennessee's going to run the clock down to the closing 10 or 15 seconds and then kick a field goal and likely win the game. DeForest Buckner. And it's fascinating because this game had that little subplot of DeForest Buckner and Marcus Mariota, who know each other so well. They hugged in the logo at the end of the game. As disappointing as that loss was for Mariota, Defoe and Marcus hugged because the game was on TV in Hawaii. It was on radio in Hawaii. There were Hawaiians related to both sides that made the trip over. Obviously a very easy trip for them to make from the island of Oahu to come here to see the game. But the fact that Defoe made that play, and I think it's great because we know he doesn't get the sack totals that register national fame. But you look at all the grading, the guy's having a tremendous second year. And to make that play yesterday, that last drive doesn't happen without Buckner making that stop.
Which leads us to the last drive. And I know we got to skip through. You got my Spark Notes version of it. But let's check it out, Ted. And I want you to talk over this because you have a minute left and a timeout. And I think throughout the game, like you said, Bradley Pinion only punted once. You have the confidence that they're going to get down there, but they made it look so darn easy.
And watch this, Joe. This is America. So here's first down. It's an underneath throw. Tennessee tackles well. So Trent Taylor only gets 7 yards. But watch this. The 49ers keep going. And this is remarkable to have Kittle be this open. Now he pushes the ball to the Tennessee 45. Still no timeout and no spike. And Adoree Jackson, it was hard to tell from that, but Adoree Jackson on that pass turned his entire body. And he basically put his backside to the sideline. And in the football term, there is leverage. That meant he was playing outside leverage. He was telling Marquise Goodwin, you're not going to the sideline to stop the clock. So Marquise Goodwin saw that. What did he do? He ran a slant, and it was an easy 15 yards. And my point being there, those are three consecutive plays, and we hurried those up for you. But those are three straight plays that the 49ers went from their 25 to the Tennessee 30 without using a timeout or spiking the ball. They didn't do either one. And I think that really reflects the amount of practice that almost, I'm assuming every pro team puts into the two-minute drill. But certainly the 49ers do. They do it largely on Thursdays, and they run through all these scenarios. So the players are trained by it. Kyle Shanahan understands exactly how much time he wants to have from a particular yard line on the field to get to where he considers and where I'm sure Robbie Gould has told him, this is my range to kick. And you saw it executed brilliantly at the end of that game yesterday. That's astounding, Joe, to have three straight plays like that, pushing the ball, I'm doing my quick math, 25 and 20, 45 yards. And they didn't use a timeout. They didn't go out of bounds. All three plays were into the field, right? So you had no boundary plays, no timeouts, and no spikes.
And you take a kill shot to the end zone because you know you're already in Robbie Gould's range.
I almost fell down on that one. I'm not going to try to explain that.
I think if you're a 49ers fan, you've got to be salivating over the combination of Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan because you saw what Kyle Shanahan was able to establish in Atlanta last year. And the guys who are just running wide open, and as good as Garoppolo was yesterday, he's hitting open players. You saw, George Kittle, that 24-yard gain at the very end. He's wide open over the middle of the field. A couple of busted coverages. Garrett Celek was the benefactor of one.
Yes.
I mean, this is Kyle Shanahan dialing up his offense with a quarterback who's able to see the field and make snap decisions. He's got the quick release. Look at this. Garrett Celek was open from the jump. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't see him. Able to evade that pressure, roll to his right, keep the play alive, and get a touchdown. Here's the one to Celek downfield. They lost him. Jimmy Garoppolo, pressure in his face, able to deliver a throw. You just can't say enough good things. There's a nice touch throw over the top of the first level of the fence to Kendrick Bourne for 54 yards. And here's the point I want to make. I was thinking about this on the way home last night, Ted. People think about a rebuild, right? And it's, okay, the 49ers are hitting the reset button, and it's probably going to be 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road so they contend again. Maybe at best they're fighting in two.
Yeah.
Throw that out timeline-wise, but seriously, because there's no set time on a rebuild until you find a quarterback. And that's the point I'm making is that it's going to take 10 years if you don't find a quarterback. It's going to take 15 years if you don't find a quarterback. Not to take a cheap shot at the Browns, but the Browns have been in rebuild mode for over a decade because they can't figure out who's under center. It's the most important position in sports for a reason. And so I'm not making conjectures or predictions about where this is headed and how soon. But I don't think you can even have the conversation of are they turning the corner, where is the rebuild at until you get that guy. 49ers have that guy now. It's a change the conversation.
Yeah. Joe, you hit it. That's exactly it. Look at the three division leaders today in the NFC. Two of them have quarterbacks that were drafted last year, Goff and Wentz. And Wentz, I think, certainly impressed more people in the rookie year last year. But Goff, with good coaching, which was desperately needed by the Rams, and some better players, no question, better protection in particular. The Rams bolstered their O-line this year to give Goff, and now Goff is showing you what a lot of people saw during his college days at Cal. Goff's good. Wentz is good. Now, Minnesota's the outlier right now because they're doing it with Case Keenum, who is a veteran quarterback that has played so well this year. And the Vikings this year playing a lot like the 49ers of the Alex Smith 2011-2012 version. Defense, special teams, don't make mistakes. Don't give points away. Don't give field position away. And we win games. And the Vikings are doing it right now and have a great chance, by the way, to do what's never been done, home field advantage through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. That has never happened. The Vikings still have a chance at that this year. But back to your point, Joe, I think that's exactly right in that Garoppolo has changed everything. The initial shot, which I still am going to emphasize, is so important because you saw it yesterday in the stands here. You felt it. The players you talked to said it. The players I asked afterwards said they heard it on the field. There was an atmosphere here that hasn't been, and it's desperately needed. It highlights again how thirsty the fans are for this hope. They've been given it. And now it is. Now it's going to be two more weeks, and it's going to be on the organization here to continue to support the cast around Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know that sounds maybe a little bit too focused on one player, but that is pro football. And it's been the one position that has been a shortcoming here for the last 3 to 4 years. Not anymore.
We've got a couple questions. Darren wants to know, when Pro Bowl rosters come out, can Robbie make it? And I'll say he better make it, quite frankly. Yeah. He's made 20 in a row. That's the longest active streak in the NFL. He's made 34 or 36 this season. That's a new career high for him. He's made 15 over his last three games. That's the first time in NFL history a kicker has made 15 over a three-game stretch. He's only the second kicker in NFL history to make 5 field goals in 3 separate games. You can see it on your screen. He's been absolutely nails in huge moments. Ice in his veins, Ted Robinson.
He didn't know yesterday. I asked him that, if he knew how many he'd kicked this year. He said, no, I don't know. So 36 easily breaks his single-season record. And what 49er fans forget is that David Akers, that's the all-time NFL record. In the 2011 season, when this team came one snap away from reaching the Super Bowl, David Akers kicked 44 field goals that year. That's the all-time NFL record in a single season. And so I made sure Robbie Gould knew yesterday we have no interest in having him break that record. Yeah. None. And he agreed. He said, the one good thing, Bradley Pinion is getting a lot of work kicking off, and that's good. And Robbie said something yesterday on our post-game show that was really cool. He said that because we're laughing that, you know, Pinion is not getting a chance to punt, which is a good thing. He is getting his work out as a holder. And Robbie said it's been really important for him that Bradley Pinion has been so good at handling the kickoffs this year. It's taken that away from Robbie. And the fact that Robbie Gould is cool about that says something about him. And says something about his veteran presence and his presence in that locker room.
The guy who's been in the league more than a decade, been on some real good Chicago Bears teams, said yesterday at the podium that this might be his favorite year of his career, which speaks volumes. And you hear that from so many people, from guys like Joe Staley to Robbie Gould. It's really impressive stuff. Joe Staley tweeted last night, Jimmy G, special things happening here in San Francisco. Yeah. We couldn't agree more. Jaguars are up next. And when you talk about these last three games, Kyle Shanahan positioned it this way to his team. You've got 3 playoff games coming up. You've got 3 teams who are desperate for wins. And that's why I think it's most impressive yesterday. Titans were desperate for that one. They had to have it. Yeah. And you're able to beat them. You have another team coming up. The Jaguars have clinched a playoff spot now. They're looking to win the AFC South crown. They've got the best defense in football. Number one scoring defense, number two passing defense, or number one scoring defense, number two passing defense, whatever it is. They're pretty darn good, which offers a nice test for Jimmy Garoppolo and company. Continue this going.
Well, that's the challenge. You're right. And look, I guarantee you, as disappointed as Mike Mularkey was, the Tennessee coach, when he left yesterday, he told Kyle, beat Jacksonville next week. Because Tennessee can still win their division, but they need the 49ers to win this game Sunday. Then Tennessee has Jacksonville at home to finish. Jacksonville, on the other hand, understands, hey, they clinch the division. They probably don't get a bye. I'm assuming New England and Pittsburgh are going to finish ahead of them, so Jacksonville will have to play as the 3 seed in the AFC, but at least they know they're division winners and a home game for sure if they win this game this week. And you hit it, Joe. This is going to be a huge test because this is all about the defense for Jacksonville. A lot of familiar names. Calais Campbell, who we've seen for years as a Cardinal, is having the best year of his career in Jacksonville. I talked to DeForest Buckner about that last week, and Defoe's heard all the comp for all the years. That's the guy that, because of the physical stature, the build, that's the guy DeForest Buckner can be. And if he has a Calais Campbell career, I think everybody here is going to be ecstatic. Miles Jack, who was a tremendous player at UCLA, has been a big part of this Jacksonville defense. Offensively,
Jalen Ramsey, can't forget
him. Exactly, good call. Exactly.
Top 5 picks, been a Pro Bowl caliber player.
And offensively, they have a look to them a lot like that 2011 49er team that was brilliant on defense, excellent on special teams, and offensively was efficient. No turnovers, moved the ball with a good running back, Frank Gore, Leonard Fournette now. And Fournette's backed up. He's got T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory behind him, so he's got people behind him. And Bortles is playing that style that Alex played here in 2011. Don't make mistakes. Don't give anything to the opposition. If we kick a bunch of field goals, our defense is good enough to win their games. That's going to be the challenge for the 49ers on offense to go against a really, really good Jacksonville defense.
Taryn says, thanks for the blankets. If you came to the game yesterday, which obviously I think, 60-plus thousand of you did, and stayed to the bitter end, as Ted illustrated earlier on that last field goal, you were kept warm by the blanket. We have another item here to keep you warm with your blanket. So bring your blanket back on Christmas Eve, because obviously that's the best Christmas Eve plan you could have. Come watch your 49ers before you head off to evening mass Or your nice
eggnog.
Yeah, exactly.
Post-game eggnog.
We got beanies this week to complement your blankets. So this is, again, we're talking premium quality stuff. I'll put it on because that's what I do here. I wear the hats, the wearer of hats. There we go.
I don't. What do you think, Serena? Is Joe rocking this?
Do I pull this off?
Yeah.
I get a thumbs up over there. I don't buy it.
Our brilliant team here.
Come get you one. In the doors, everybody who comes to Levi's Stadium on Sunday against the Jaguars gets one of these. Bring your blanket along with you. Christmas Eve, what a way to celebrate the holidays. The 49ers right now enjoying their streak right now. 4 of 5, looking to make it 5 of 6 against, like we said, a great Jacksonville Jaguars team. Any final thoughts before we part ways here?
Well, no, and I just, again, Joe, I'm going to go back to where we started at the beginning and saying, to me, the most uplifting part of yesterday was to see and hear the crowd, to see people at the end of the game, to watch as we were doing our – we had something to talk about yesterday, so we did a long post-game show on radio, and it was 45 minutes after the game, and I'm looking down at the Intel gate to my left, and I'm still seeing fans leaving 45 minutes after the game. That has been – obviously, it's been missing. It's been too long in coming, and, hey, if Garoppolo is the reason it's coming back, go for it. Keep it going. It's just – it's fun to come to the stadium on Sunday – and experience the atmosphere here that we experience so often going to other places on the road the last couple of years.
And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. No, playoffs aren't in the cards for this team right now, but the trajectory and the arrow is pointing up, and there is really no denying that. You saw John Lynch, how thrilled he was yesterday, greeting players off the field. You saw how fun it was for Robbie Gould and Kyle Shanahan. You saw the post-game hoopla in the locker room. It's fun for us. It should be fun for you as well. Ted, it's been a treat to have you back. No show next week because next Monday is Christmas. We'll find you later on in the week. Yeah. But from all of us here.
Hey, Serena and Nate and Andrew, by the way, who put up with this nonsense every week and somehow make us look good. Merry Christmas. Well done, team.
And a Merry Christmas to you. We look forward to seeing you Sunday at Levi's Stadium as Titans host the Jags. Final home game of the season. Get yourself a hat. Watch Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. It's Fan Appreciation Day. There's going to be tons of giveaways. For Ted Robinson, I'm Joe Fan. We'll see you Sunday. We'll see you next week on 49ers Live.